Monday, the United States Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Colorado baker who refused to bake a cake to celebrate the marriage of a same-sex couple because of a religious objection. That ruling was 7-2. The court held that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission showed hostility toward the baker based on his religious beliefs. This case was one of the most anticipated rulings of the term, and it was considered by some as a follow-up from the court's decision 3 years ago to clear the way for same-sex marriage nationwide. Joining me in studio today to talk about the ruling is Molly Kufka, a lawyer with the ACLU of Idaho, and Alex Millis, a Boise-based LGBTQ advocate. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
Molly, I'd like to start with you because the ruling was a win for the baker, Jack Phillips, who cited his beliefs as a Christian. But does this leave, you know, more unsettled, broader constitutional questions on religious liberty?
Well, I want to make it abundantly clear that the United States Supreme Court did not change the longstanding rule that businesses open to the public must be open to all. So to make that very clear. And so while it's incredibly disappointing that the court let the bakery's discrimination here in this case go unchecked, it did so only because of concerns unique to this case. And so it's a matter of the comments that the commission made during the proceedings in Colorado. And not, it's not hinging on the actual issue of the religiously based discrimination.
And talk a little bit about the laws in Colorado, because that's part of the issue, correct? Is that certain laws that Colorado has on their books allowed this to move forward, correct?
Correct. So Colorado is one of the states in the U.S. that has laws prohibiting all public accommodations, including businesses like the Masterpiece Cake Shop, from refusing service to anyone based on characteristics such as race, sex, religion, or sexual orientation, or gender identity. So the Colorado Civil Rights Commission found that the Masterpiece Cake Shop had discriminated against Charlie Craig and David Mullins in violation of Colorado's public accommodation law, and then the Colorado courts agreed. So it was based on the Civil Rights Act protecting folks from discrimination based on sexual orientation that paved the way for Charlie and David to file a discrimination violation against the bakery.
So does this really almost come down to semantics then? Because what you said, I think, in the very beginning, Molly, was really critical, that this has not changed the broader law. But it was the Colorado Human Rights Commission in their basically wording when this came in front of them, correct?
Right. So the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, reversed the decision based on concerns that the Colorado Commission had not acted impartially when considering the bakery's religion-based defense. So it wasn't making any specific decision about the reasoning for the baker's, you know, refusal to serve Charlie and David. So it didn't even get into those issues. It was just about the comments and the treatment the, you know, Colorado Commission expressed towards the bakery during those proceedings.
So within that legal proceeding.
Right.
Right. So, Alex, I want to bring you into the conversation and talk to me a little bit about what this means within your community. I mean, is it a blow when something like this happens, even when We're talking about, you know, legal semantics here.
I think something to consider really is just, you know, the fear in the community and how valid it is, you know, regardless of where the legality stands on it. I think, you know, this just brings out the fears in our community and trying to address that and, you know, validate them and make sure that they feel comforted.
And for you, what's that like when a just from a personal standpoint, when a decision like this comes down?
Yeah, I mean, as an Idahoan, it makes me consider, you know, what businesses I go to. And I sometimes wonder if other people in the community consider when they go into a store, whether or not they will receive service and, you know, what that stigma could look like.
And Molly, let's talk a little bit about what this ramification means for Idaho, what this ruling means for Idaho. Before we came on the air today, you were talking about certain things that the state of Colorado has legally that we don't have in Idaho. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. So as I had mentioned, Colorado's Civil Rights Act has protections against discrimination against folks based on gender identity or sexual orientation. Like 60% of other states in the U.S., Idaho's Human Rights Act does not protect LGBTQ folks from discrimination in housing, jobs, or as customers going to a place of business. So there's been so much work done in Idaho, going as far back as 2006 with groups such as Add the Words, mm-hmm. ACLU of Idaho, advocating that the Idaho State Legislature add the words to protect folks based on gender identity and sexual orientation. And it's imperative that even though the Supreme Court's decision does not give businesses constitutional rights to discriminate, right? It does not do that. In fact, the Supreme Court decision talked about states seeking to prevent the harms of discrimination in the marketplace, mm-hmm. including against LGBTQ people.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the opinion.
Yes.
They really did make that point.
Right. But at the same time, right, locally here in Idaho, even though there's a number of cities within Idaho who have passed city ordinances mm-hmm. protecting folks based on gender identity and sexual orientation, it's imperative that Idahoans put pressure on their elected officials to add the words to the Idaho Human Rights Act.
I'm speaking with Alex Millis, an LGBTQ advocate in Boise, and Molly Kufka, a lawyer for the ACLU of Idaho. If you have any questions, email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We have a couple minutes left in this segment, and we will try to get to your questions as soon as we can. So get those in. Molly, I'd like to go a little bit farther on this, if we can. So if I am understanding what you're saying, the state of Colorado, they have basically an add the words in their constitution. Hence why this was able to go forward and to be heard at the level of the United States Supreme Court. We do not have that in Idaho. So a case like this, if I'm understanding you correctly, could not move forward because we do not have that verbiage within our Constitution.
In this way.
In this way.
So
okay.
This case is very specific as to Colorado having these protections in their Civil Rights Act. So they had a very clear path to challenge the actions of the baker. So it just have to be a different, you know, path for somebody here mm-hmm. in Idaho. But again, that's a very shaky path. And that's why it's so important.
Well,
Alex.
What would that look like if, you know, there was a path in Idaho moving forward?
Exactly.
So you're asking...
That's a big question, I know.
It is. Well, I mean, in the sense of, like, we've seen a big movement with Add the Words. It you know, in the last couple of years, we saw that during the legislative session.
And I can speak from Boise Pride Festival.
I was going to say, what's that like for you, Alex?
Yeah, we've had actually, you know, a double increase in our sponsorship for the current year. So we've had a lot of businesses reach out to us. So there's been increased support and increased communication among the group. So I think that's something that's super exciting and interesting. And we see it kind of growing. And so it's just kind of looking at the legislative branch to meet the needs of the public.
Oh, so what's that like for you, Alex, in that mm-hmm. sense, that here you have businesses coming out in support and wanting to support things like Pride Fest. That's got to make you feel good from a personal standpoint. However, we still don't have those words in our Constitution. What's that like for your community?
I think talking about the narrative is so important and having feedback throughout. And I think something, you know, we discuss is how to guide these businesses to help make them, you know, have a conversation about ethical practices and what that looks like. And, you know, not just putting a rainbow flag, you know, during Pride season, but, you know, maybe donating to a nonprofit organization or, you know, making more steps to, you know, push that narrative that's so needed.
And Molly, from a legal standpoint in Idaho, even though, like you mentioned, there are cities throughout Idaho that have basically added the words. But that can only go so far legally, correct?
Right.
How does that work then, even though cities put that in place, that doesn't supersede our state constitution, though, if I'm correct?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, it's the fact that those protections don't exist in the Human Rights Act at this time. So people still have that avenue depending on where they're located. But for folks who are not in those cities such as Boise, Meridian, Coeur d'Alene, Moscow, they don't have that very clear-cut path to challenging somebody's actions or discrimination against them. So it's not a matter of the Human Rights Act now superseding these local ordinances, because if those local ordinances are there protecting folks and there's not something higher doing it, that doesn't dismiss the local ordinance protection, right? So it just has a clear path for those folks in those cities. But for people who are outside in more rural areas, mm-hmm. Who maybe don't have the luxury of bouncing around to different businesses or housing, right? Those folks are very vulnerable. And it's a shame that...
And that's a majority of Idaho, right?
That is. I mean, we live in a rural state. And I think sometimes we get caught in little bubbles if you live in the more metro areas. And we forget that a huge majority of our state is rural.
Yeah.
So if someone from a rural area was to come to the ACLU of Idaho and say something like this happened, what can you do?
Well, I mean, there's a matter of just trying to figure out what would be the best for that person and trying to hook them up with legal services to either challenge that, discrimination. It could go from housing, in which case they're Intermountain Fair Housing Council, right? There,
so you can take other avenues.
Yes, definitely.
That's ultimately what it comes down to, is taking different avenues for that. I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this issue. It is interesting. It is something that needs to be talked about. So thank you both. Molly Kopka with the ACLU of Idaho, Alex Millis, an LGBTQ advocate here in Boise. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Us.